He must have heard the panic in my voice because he studied me. His expression smoothed.
Only if I had to. I like Orange County, and I don't plan to leave. But I have to go where the work is.
Will you tell me if you do? I asked. He wrinkled his nose.
Of course.
Can I have your phone number just in case?
He laughed a little and rested his head against the back of the seat. You make me smile, Lake. Nobody else does. How could I walk away from you?
His joy, if you could call it that, eased as he stared up at the ceiling. He kept his voice down.
I'll promise you something better. Wherever I go, I won't abandon you.
What does that mean? I can come with you?
It just means we'll always be friends, as long as you want that.
I held on to his seat even more tightly. I believed him, because it was the same for me. If I had to be away from him a few years, if I had to make long-distance phone calls or write letters, no cost would be too high to keep him in my life. And maybe down the line, that would pay off. One day he'd look at me and see a beautiful, sexy woman instead of the awkward, inexperienced teen I was now. Where would you go? I asked.
I honestly don't know.
Home?
He shook his head, still looking up. I don't have a home.
I refrained from transferring my death grip from the cushion to his hand. I could give him whatever it was he was missing. I knew I could. How is that possible? I asked softly.
Some people just don't. It's not always a bad thing.
Tell me about your family.
No.
What about your sister? Is she with your parents? With his head back, his throat was exposed so I could see and hear him swallow.
No. I don't talk about my family.
Even with me? I won't tell anyone.
It has nothing to do with you. I just don't.
I knew I shouldn't take it personally, but I did. Nobody made him smile like me. Wasn't that worth something? Didn't he trust me? Feel close to me? I'd trusted him from the moment he'd held my bracelet in his palm and asked me to come get it. All this time, I'd thought he was asking me to read between the lines, to hear the things he couldn't say. We're friends, aren't we? I asked.
I already told you we were. I just said we'd always be.
You don't know that. Are you embarrassed to have a friend my age?
No,
he said flatly. He looked about to add something and thought better of it. He spoke slowly, as if choosing his words carefully.
You're not that much younger than your sister.
But we're different.
I know.
He blinked.
How do you think you two are different?
She's pretty. He shut his eyes and inhaled a deep breath.
She is.
It wasn't the reassurance I wanted. Maybe he thought I was fishing for a compliment, and I was, so why couldn't he just tell me I was pretty, too? Was that so bad? I wouldn't read anything into it. I was 99% sure about that.
Someday,
Manning said, almost to himself.
When you're older and wiser, looking back on this, you'll understand.
When?
I can't tell you that because I'm not even sure I understand.
That wasn't fair. Maybe he didn't know exactly what he felt about me, but he had some idea, and he expected me not to wonder about it. I would wonder and think hard about it now, not someday when it might be too late, when he was already gone. I wasn't convinced Manning wanted Tiffany, or even that she wanted him, so what was the link between them? When one didn't want the other, what had kept them together the past month?
I said someday, Manning said, breaking the silence. Not now.
I can't wait that long.
He grinned at me. There's no hidden prize or anything, just understanding that comes with time and age.
He looked at my bare legs and quickly away again, as if it were a habit he was trying to break.
You know our conversations, they stay between us, right? You know that.
I nodded. Our time together was precious and not to be shared. I know.
All right. Let's talk about something interesting.
He sat up again and scratched his chin, thinking.
If you won a contest on the radio to go anywhere in the world and you had to leave tomorrow night, where would you go?
Big Bear, I said. He laughed.
But you'll already be there.
So will you. I wasn't brave enough to say it. Instead, I asked, what was Tiffany's answer?
I didn't ask her. A thrill ran up my spine. This was mine. I have to think about it.
That's fine.
He turned to me, giving me his full attention.
We have time. I want to know.
Why? I asked.
Because I care, he said. I care very much.
Chapter 14. Lake. Something about a dining hall full of humans under 14 amplified everything. Counselors shouted over kids excited to be away from home for a week. Trays banged against tables, silverware against plastic dishes. The camp's kitchen staff hurried kids down the buffet line, cooked hamburger meat battled with body odor. I was glad not to eat near the boys. Cabin 9 sat in the middle of the hall, with Manning in the center of the picnic-style table. The boys laughed at what he said, looked up at him between bites of sloppy joes, showed him stuff from their pockets. Peals of giggles at my own table brought my attention back to where it should be. Hannah sat at the opposite end of a long wooden table, 8 9-year-old girls between us. "What's so funny?" I asked.
"Bettina likes Bobby Newman."
In the 4 hours we'd been here, it wasn't the first boy talk I'd heard. "Which one's Bobby Newman?" They all pointed at Manning's table, and Bettina turned a bright shade of red. Luckily for her, the only boy who noticed was Manning. He sucked his teeth, holding back a grin, as if he knew exactly what we were talking about. Bettina's secret crush. Mine, too.
"What activity are you girls most looking forward to?" Hannah asked.
Reluctantly, I pulled my gaze away from Manning's. Was it fair to feel as if I knew him well enough to say he was happy? I hadn't seen him so relaxed, so quick to laugh and smile, as I had since we'd gotten to the parking lot this morning.
"Horses!"
one of the girls screamed. I was the only one at the table who didn't agree. Climbing on a large, unpredictable animal sounded no safer than riding a hunk of unreliable metal into the sky. It was the only activity I'd set out. Like last year, I planned to wait at the stable while Hannah and the instructors took the girls.
"We have arts and crafts next," I said.
Some of the girls groaned, some tittered. Katie tugged on my sleeve.
"Can we make friendship bracelets?"
"Of course." We still had an afternoon full of things to do, so I did a drink check. "Did everyone have at least one full glass of water?"
"Yes,"
they all replied. Hannah and I exchanged a look. We'd only gone through one pitcher between 13 of us. I stood.
"I'll get more."
As I waited for a refill from the kitchen staff, Manning came up next to me and set his tray on the buffet. He held his plate out to Bucky, who was packing up the chafing dishes.
"Fill her up."
Bucky was a local I recognized from last year. He scrunched his mouth so hard it almost touched his eyebrows.
"No seconds." "Come on, man. You got plenty left, and I'm a growing boy."
He'd just served food to over 100 kids, but it didn't matter. He always looked that grumpy. "Please, Bucky?" I asked. He snatched the plate and began shoveling food onto it.
"Do you always get seconds?"
I asked.
"Are you calling me fat?"
"I wouldn't quit weightlifting just yet if I were you." Manning laughed.
"I'd ask if you want me to get you seconds, too, but it sounds like you can handle yourself."
I'd eaten everything off my plate, but I wasn't satisfied. "There's dessert," I said.
"Yeah? You want some?"
"I'm always hungrier up here." He took his plate back from Bucky, and I got the water pitcher. Manning walked me over to the dessert section, picked out 2 chocolate puddings, and handed me one.
"Are you having fun?"
he asked on our way back to the tables.
"Yes, but I knew I would. Are you?"
"I am," he said. "A lot, actually. All the outdoor activities remind me of being a kid again. The boys' enthusiasm is infectious, and it's been a while since... I mean, they stink like hell, but they keep me on my toes."
I giggled. Manning's boys were 9, too. Same as last year, some of them hadn't discovered deodorant yet. "Do we have anything together today?" I asked, since the same age groups were often paired for activities. "Just asking in case I should bring a face mask."
"I don't know."
He nudged my arm with his elbow before stopping at his table.
"Guess we'll see."
I went to turn away, but stopped. I lowered my voice. After lights out, most of the counselors come back to the dining hall to hang out and play games and stuff.
I heard.
"Will you come?" I asked. He looked over my head a second.
"Maybe."
When I returned to my girls, my smile must have been as bright as a light bulb. I was sure it took up half my face.
"I want dessert, too," one of the girls said.
I handed over my pudding without protest.
"Have you seen Tiffany?" Hannah asked, nodding across the cafeteria. "You might want to go check on her."
I looked over. Tiffany had her finger in one of the girls' faces as though she were scolding her. She'd been assigned to the cabin nobody wanted, the 12-year-old girls. They were vain, boy-crazy, and learning to test boundaries. Part of me thought it was fair payback for how snotty she'd acted at that age, and the other part worried only Tiffany or the girls would survive the week, not both. I got back up, crossed the hall to cabin 11, and plopped down next to Tiffany.
"How's it going?"
I hadn't meant to sneak up on her, but she jumped a mile high, whirling on me. Dirt streaked her temple, and her normally perfect hair looked as though it hadn't been brushed in a week.
"Jesus, Lake! Hell on earth! That's how it's going!"
I had to laugh. "It's the first day. Things are always a little crazy."
"You have to get me out of here!"
A couple of Tiffany's campers looked over. I shushed her. "They'll hear you."
"I don't care! They're a bunch of brats!"
"You're a brat," said one girl.
"Shut up," Tiffany pointed at her. "I told you all to be quiet."
"Tiffany, stop. You can't say that to them." She sighed, her upper body slumping.
"I don't like this, Lake. My co-counselor is only 2 years older than them, and she's not any help."
I bit my thumbnail. "Try to remember what it was like to be 12. There's a balance between being their friend and commanding their respect."
"Can you help me, please?"
"I have my own cabin to deal with," I said. Since I felt sorry for her, I added, "Once they're in bed, all the counselors come back here to hang out. We can vent then." Tiffany grabbed my arm as I stood.
"Don't go, please."
"I have to. I'll see you tonight." The girls were in their beds by 8, and after some policing, including a lecture on gossip, they'd fallen asleep soon after. Once I was sure they were out for the night, I grabbed Hannah to take her to the dining hall. It was a short walk, but we had to pass through woods to get there, guided only by the moonlight the trees let through.
"You're sure this is allowed?" Hannah asked.
"Yep. Once the kids are in bed, we all hang out, even Gary. Head counselors take turns throughout the week walking through camp to check on each cabin. You might have to at some point."
"By myself? Are you afraid?" I teased.
"You know I made up that story about the bear to get the girls to hand over their candy, right?"
"Really? So there aren't bears out here?"
One quick glance around the deadly silent dark made me shiver.
"No, there are."
Hannah made a noise. I hurried her along. It actually was a little scary, but I also wanted to see if Manning would come tonight. I supposed I should talk Tiffany off the ledge, too. Inside, the tables had been moved to the room's perimeter, clearing the area. A boombox sat on the fireplace mantel, and a junior counselor rapped along to nothing but a G-thang. Some people stood off to the side talking, while others had brought cushions and blankets to sit on the floor in a circle. Manning sat with Gary and some other counselors in plastic chairs they'd formed into a half circle. Hannah and I walked over, all eyes on us as we approached.
"What's up?" Gary said. "Grab a chair."
Manning stood.
"I'll get some."
He walked off to the side and lifted a seat in each hand. A girl I didn't recognize had her chair a little too close to Manning's. Now I not only had to worry about Tiffany, but other girls too? "Move over," I said to her. She glanced behind me at Manning.
"Please,"
I added. She scooted aside as Manning added our chairs to the circle.
"When did you get so bossy?" Gary asked me as I sat. "Last year you were much more shy."
Even though my cheeks warmed, his teasing made everyone look at me, even Manning.
I said please.
"You should see her with the girls," Hannah said. "She's the boss."
"That's so?" Manning asked. I arched an eyebrow at him. "You look surprised."
"I didn't say you were shy."
Neither of us smiled, but the energy between us was light, playful. Something about today had obviously softened Manning's outer layer, and I couldn't help feeling responsible for that. The song changed, and Hannah bobbed her head with the music. God, I love LL Cool J. Manning shifted his eyes to her.
Yeah? I would have guessed Mariah Carey or something.
She laughed. I listen to both. LL is good to get in a certain kind of mood.
Yeah,
he said, and laughed as if it were some kind of inside joke. Maybe it was. I didn't know what an around-the-way girl was, but they seemed to. What mood? I asked. Manning looked at something behind me.
Never mind.
What are we talking about? Tiffany asked a second before she fell into Manning's lap. He oofed, and she put an arm around his neck. Oh, please. You're twice my size.
Now I see where Lake gets it, Gary said.
Tiffany flipped her hair over her shoulder, sending a telling waft of herbal essences in my direction. There was no sign of the dirt I'd seen earlier. And she had on a full face of makeup. The girl had showered.
Gets what?
Playing the boss.
I don't play. I'm bossy, and I make no apologies. How else would I get what I want?
Her eyes twinkled with everyone watching her. She looked up at Manning.
Right, babe?
Are you two dating?
Gary asked. Tiffany looked at Manning, so we all did too.
No.
We're taking it slow, Tiffany said.
It's cool, Gary said. Just leave that stuff at home this week. You have my word, man.
Manning patted Tiffany's outer thigh.
Up.
She kissed his cheek and stood, then motioned for me to let her sit. Scooch! I could barely function enough to slide over and share my seat. She just kissed him when she wanted, hugged him, sat on him. She didn't know how lucky she was. I didn't think I'd ever just reached out and touched him. I looked at my hands, at the dirt in my cuticles from planting trees earlier.
How'd today go? Manning asked her.
Great!
Her smile was so fake, I couldn't believe Manning bought it, but he smiled back.
I'm glad. I was worried about you.
Aw, next time come check on me, she said. I missed you, and I could have used some backup.
Thought you said it was all right.
It was, she shrugged. But they're a little hard to handle.
Too bad you aren't in charge of boys.
Manning stretched his long arm along the back of our chair, his thumb ghosting over my far shoulder.
You'd have no trouble getting them to do what you say.
Tiffany actually blushed, which was rare. Meanwhile, my heart dropped 1,000 miles. Why was he worried about her? Why did she miss him? They didn't even care about each other. She took a sip from a red Solo cup I hadn't noticed before.
What is that? I asked her.
Special grapefruit punch?
I looked in at the pink drink.
With alcohol?
Yep, want some?
Manning had turned away to talk to Gary. I took the cup from her and sniffed the rim. It didn't smell like grapefruit. More than once, my dad had come home groaning that he needed a drink. I'd never really had the desire to get drunk, but Tiffany and her friends and mine all made it sound so glamorous, like fun in a bottle. Much better than feeling like this, jealous of my own sister, invisible to the only man who'd ever seemed to see me. Still, I wasn't brave enough to drink it. Camp was no place to be reckless. I wasn't sure where Tiffany had gotten the alcohol, but it definitely wasn't allowed. I went to hand it back when Manning's arm flew over my head. He grabbed my wrist so fast, punch sloshed over the side onto my top.
Don't drink that, he said.
I wasn't going to.
Oh, come on, Tiffany whispered. One sip won't kill her.
He turned on Tiffany, keeping my arm firmly in his hand.
What are you doing?
What?
She asked.
Our parents aren't around for once. I just want her to have some fun.
That's your little sister. She looks up to you. If you tell her underage drinking is okay, she'll believe you.
My ears burned with embarrassment. I didn't feel this childish when my parents scolded me. I'm right here, I said.
If she gets caught drinking, you know what'll happen, he asked Tiffany. Did you even think about that?
She shrunk down.
No.
Manning lowered his voice.
Gary will kick her out faster than she can apologize.
He looked at me.
He'll call your parents to come get you, tonight.
Going home was the last thing I wanted. I tried pulling my hand back, but I couldn't even move him. If he was trying to warn or scare me, his grip was having the opposite effect.
My insides flurried as I realized the extent of his strength. I wondered if this was why Tiffany sometimes did things she wasn't supposed to, if she thought this kind of attention was better than none at all. Tiffany took her drink back. "Sorry, Lake. I'd die if you left me up here by myself for the week." Finally, Manning let me go to take the cup from Tiffany.
"That goes for you, too. Where'd you even get this?"
"I have my ways," she pouted. "What about later, when it's just you and me?"
"No, and don't bring it up again."
I couldn't handle this. If they were making plans to be alone, I wasn't sure if it was better to know or pretend it wasn't happening. Manning tensed in his seat.
"Is that the guy from the fair?" he asked.
Tiffany and I followed his line of sight to Corbin Swenson, who looked as tall and swoony as ever in a sweatshirt, jeans, and skate shoes. Corbin walked toward us, his hood pulled over his head, hands shoved in the hoodie's front pocket.
"Corbin," Gary said. "You made it."
Corbin opened his arms.
"You wanted a baseball all-star? Here I am."
"I didn't know you'd be here," Tiffany said. "You weren't at any of the meetings."
"Lake knew."
Corbin winked at me, and Tiffany and Manning looked over.
"I asked him to drive up for a day to play some ball tomorrow," Gary said. "Maybe teach these boys a few things," Corbin added. "What's wrong with just throwing the ball around?" Manning asked. "Nothing," Corbin shrugged as he and Manning locked eyes. "But when you have access to an all-star, might as well take advantage. I came here as a kid, same as Lake."
It was a weird sensation to hear a Swenson say my name at all, but to have him do it in front of everyone made me giddy.
"So proud of you, man," Gary said. "Take a seat."
Corbin grabbed two chairs, and everyone but Manning scooted to open the circle for him. Maybe because of that, Corbin set both seats down on the other side of Manning.
"Looks like you could use one of your own," he said to me,
since Tiffany and I were sharing. "I'm fine where I am," Tiffany replied, putting her hand on Manning's knee.
"I was talking to Lake," Corbin said.
With all eyes on me, including Manning's burning stare, I went to sit between Manning and Corbin. Corbin took his hood down, ruffling a hand through his honey-colored hair.
"How's your summer been?" he asked.
"Fine." Nobody spoke. I had the distinct feeling they were all listening to our conversation. "Keeping busy?"
"Course you are. Every time I see you, you're reading or with friends or..."
He clucked his tongue.
"Eating cotton candy."
Oh, God. Corbin Swenson was flirting with me, and all I wanted to do was check to see if Manning was watching. Was he maybe a little jealous? "You make it sound like I just screw around all day."
"Don't you?" he asked. "It's summer."
"No, my dad doesn't let me. That's why I was reading at the beach. For school."
"Ah."
He sat back in his seat, crossing an ankle over his knee.
"Charles, right? That's your dad? My old man works with him."
"I know."
"So you're not screwing around here?"
"No, this is for my college apps. Just don't tell my dad I enjoy it." We smiled at each other.
"I sense a love connection," Gary said, waggling his eyebrows at me. He sat forward. "But listen, you two."
"Leave that stuff at home," everyone recited, and before erupting in laughter.
All right," Gary said. "I just expect you guys to set a good example for the kids. No alcohol, no sex."
"Unless you're the one having it?" Tiffany teased. More giggling.
"You're all a bunch of degenerates,"
Gary said. He stood and stretched.
"I need my beauty rest. Remember, reflection is at 7 tomorrow morning and not a minute later. Last cabin to show gets dining hall cleanup duty."
Hannah and I exchanged looks. "It won't be us." Corbin got up, too, and gently touched my shoulder.
"I'll be right back. I've got a few questions for Gary about tomorrow. Don't go."
I just nodded, watching him walk away. "I'm bored," Tiffany said.
"There's a deck of cards," Manning said. "We could play a game."
"With alcohol?"
"Christ, Tiffany," he said. "I already told you no."
She sighed. "I said I was bored, not 50. I don't want to play cards."
"You don't have to."
Manning nodded at a group of counselors across the hall.
"You know any of them?" No. Why don't you go introduce yourself? Part of this experience is meeting new people.
Because I'd rather do other things, like...
Tiffany inched her chair closer to him and whispered in his ear. Manning kept his eyes on the floor.
We can't.
Why not?
You know why.
His eyes shifted to my feet, but stayed down as he stammered.
We're not. And I promised your mom.
She isn't here. She tugged on his arm. Can we go for a walk?
He blew out a sigh.
I'll make you a deal. You go over and say hi, make some small talk, and then we can go for a walk.
She rolled her eyes but stood.
Okay, fine. Will you come with me?
Yeah, I'll be right there.
I couldn't look at Manning. My face burned just thinking of them out there alone doing things you could only whisper. Now, later, the rest of the week. One minute I swore he and I had some unearthly connection, and then there were moments like this one, where I questioned how well I really knew him. He leaned his elbows onto his knees and spoke for my ears only.
We're just going outside for a cigarette, that's all.
You said you weren't going to smoke at all.
No, I said I'd figure it out.
He cleared his throat.
You know how hard it is to go all day without one cigarette.
Would you quit if I asked you to? He blinked slowly, as if seeing me for the first time.
What?
If I asked you to quit, would you?
Why?
He asked. It's not healthy.
I don't do it in front of you.
My mouth fell open. Yes, you do.
When? Name one time.
I thought back to the day I'd met him and the night of the fair and the time I'd gone looking for him on the site. He'd held cigarettes, put them behind his ear, even stuck them in his lips. But he'd never lit one. Or if he had, he'd put it out as soon as I'd gotten near. It hadn't occurred to me that was on purpose. I could recall the smell of smoke being near him, though. I could almost taste the bitterness on his mouth.
You can't think of one because it didn't happen, he said.
I opened my eyes, not realizing I'd closed them. My mouth was watering. You're right, but I'm not asking you to quit for me. It's because I care about you. I care enough that I want you to stop hurting yourself. I'd never seen him look speechless. Quiet, yes. Stoic, definitely. But not speechless.
I will quit. One day. Soon.
He swallowed.
I'm down to 2 or 3 a day.
It wasn't good enough, so I didn't respond.
But if you want me to, I'll try harder.
I wanted him to not go outside with Tiffany. Truthfully, I'd come to like the smell of cigarettes because it reminded me of him, and I'd cherish the coarse taste on his tongue, the stink, if it meant one kiss. But more than that, I'd spent my youth learning about how cigarettes turned your lungs black and killed you over time. I didn't want that for him. Try harder, I said. He gave me a funny look. I hadn't said it rudely, but who was I to tell a grown man how to live?
All right, he said. I will.
Tiffany waved at us from the doorway. She's waiting for you, I said, turning away in my seat.
Who?
Tiffany.
Oh.
He didn't get up right away.
I'll be back. Stay here.
Whatever. I always did what I was told, whether it came from my parents, teachers, Tiffany, or now Manning. And where had that gotten me? Here, watching him walk away with her. Why should I? I asked.
Because I don't want you walking around in the woods by yourself at night. That's reasonable, isn't it?
He didn't wait for my answer, just stood and left. What if I did walk alone through the woods at night? Would he put me in counselor timeout? He had no real power over me. Why should I listen to anything he said when he was outside with my sister?
Are you all right?
I looked up at Corbin, who towered over me. Yes, I mean, no, I'm tired.
Long day, huh? Can I walk you back to your cabin?
Manning had told me to stay put. I knew it was because he cared, but in that moment, I questioned what that even meant. I stood. That would be nice. Corbin held the door open for me, and we passed into the night. As soon as we left the glow of the cafeteria, darkness was all around us.
Man, I love it here,
Corbin said as we crossed through the woods.
So peaceful. I would have done the counselor thing, but I start baseball camp this week.
Are you really on the All-Star team?
Yep. I'm applying for scholarships, actually.
Really? Where?
My dad wants me to go somewhere in California, like Stanford, but I've always wanted to move east.
I stopped to gape at him. You're kidding. You're such a California guy. He laughed.
I know, it's weird. But I love that the East Coast has history and that the city's like the center of the world. I want to do big things, like be someone. That's what New York's about.
What about surfing, skating, all that stuff?
You can surf in New York. There's this place called Montauk. It's badass, or so I've heard. Haven't been yet.
We started walking again, his knuckles brushing mine.
What about you? I know you're a year under me, but have you started thinking about college?
I'm going to USC. He chuckled.
Just like that, huh?
Just like that. Easy, wasn't it? I hadn't really considered there might be other options. It had only ever been SC. Would you stay in California if your dad asked?
Only if I wanted to.
The East Coast seemed so far away. Going to school there would be like moving to a new country. If I was honest, even Stanford in Northern California intimidated me. My dad went to USC. We've been working on stuff for my college app since middle school. We hadn't even discussed it. Dad and I had just started planning at some point.
That's cool, he said. I mean, it's a great school. They've got a baseball team, too.
I looked at the ground, unsure of how to respond to that. For a few silent seconds, the only sound was our feet crunching on the forest floor and the chirp of crickets. I smelled the cigarette smoke first. It made its way through me instantly, leaving me warm and cozy, because it usually meant I was close to Manning. With as strongly as I associated him with it, it still surprised me that he'd never actually smoked in front of me.
I hear voices, Corbin said. Who's smoking?
Who do you think?
Your sister.
I nodded and called. Tiff? We're over here, she said. Corbin and I cut through the trees until two shadowy figures came into sight.
What are you doing out here, Lake? Manning asked. I told you to...
He stopped, and the four of us stood in silence a moment.
Told her to what? Tiffany asked.
To stay where she was.
It was so quiet I could hear Tiffany shift in her platforms.
Why?
I was following his rules. He couldn't protest. And if he did, how would it look to Tiffany and Corbin? He doesn't think it's safe to walk around in the dark alone, I said. But as you can see, I'm not alone. So good night. I felt his eyes on me. He wanted to say more. Now he knew how I felt, always having to keep things inside. Finally, Manning took a drag of his cigarette, and after a few seconds, he stepped back.
Night.
What had I expected him to do? Ditch Tiffany to walk me back himself? He couldn't, but that didn't make me feel any better. It just frustrated me more.
He's an intense dude,
Corbin said as we walked away. I couldn't answer. Not without snapping at Corbin, who had nothing to do with this.
You want to go check out the lake? Corbin said. It's a little bit of a walk, but it's amazing at night.
No thanks. I have to be up early.
We both do.
Corbin didn't speak again until we reached my cabin. He shoved his hands in his hoodie and backed away.
Later.
Are you mad? He stopped.
I don't know, Lake. I've asked you out a couple times and...
That was you asking me out? The corner of his mouth lifted.
Well, it was no big gesture, I admit, but you don't have to be mean about it.
Corbin had been nothing but gentlemanly tonight, since I'd met him, actually. And he was right, I'd sort of blown him off both times. Me, blowing off a Swenson. It was so insane, I almost laughed. I'm sorry, I said. I'm not really... I don't date...
Never?
I shook my head. For one, my dad says I'm too young.
He's a real hard ass, isn't he?
Kind of.
And the second reason?
What?
You said for one. What's two?
Oh. I didn't have a second reason I could vocalize. There was crushing on a boy like him, and there was whatever I felt for Manning. They didn't compare in my eyes.
It's just an expression.
Corbin raised the zipper on his hoodie. The temperature had dropped once the sun disappeared. He nodded behind him.
It doesn't have anything to do with that guy, does it?
Who, Manning? Despite the chill, my scalp warmed. No. Why?
No reason. Will you come to the baseball game tomorrow? Cheer me on.
I'd pretty much been a jerk, turning him down, but he still wanted to see me. Corbin was sweet, fine, and by some odd turn of events, he might like me. I should just say yes. It was so much easier than this back-and-forth roller coaster with Manning that left my stomach in knots. With Corbin, there were no knots. There wasn't anything, really. Maybe that wasn't a bad thing. I nodded.
I'll come. Cool. See you in the morning.
Corbin? I said as he turned. Thanks for walking me back. He smiled.
Anytime.
Chapter 15. Lake. For morning reflection, everyone gathered on the wooden bleachers to face the rising sun. Birds chirped, blue sky peeked through the treetops. While Gary spoke softly about positive intentions and what the day would bring, 9 pairs of feet plus Tiffany's trudged in. At 7:10, they were the final cabin to arrive, which meant Tiffany would spend her morning cleaning up half-eaten food and used napkins. I couldn't muster any sympathy. She knew the rules.
Each morning we'll sing a special song to begin the day, Gary said. I discovered it earlier this year and thought, that song has a great message. You might have heard it on the radio. Shine by Collective Soul is about the quest for guidance and acceptance. It has religious undertones, but you can sing it however it makes sense to you. But first, I want each cabin to come together and decide what they're grateful for on this beautiful morning. The counselors will share it with the group.
We huddled with the girls, who looked as energized and excited as they had getting on the bus the morning before.
What are we grateful for? Hannah asked.
That we don't have to clean up our mess today, Bettina said.
You're grateful for Bobby Newman, one of the girls teased.
Hannah and I looked at each other.
Let's try for something a little deeper, I said. Any ideas, Hannah?
How about if we're grateful for each other? Hannah asked.
Friendship.
Three Musketeers, Katie added. It's my favorite candy.
Friendship it is, Hannah said. Gary called everyone's attention back to the front. Friendship came up 3 times before Manning's turn.
We're grateful for a lot of things, he said, scanning the faces of the boys in his cabin. But today, we'd like to say our thanks for the release of Mortal Kombat 2 last month. As a cabin, we agree that this is one of the best things to happen this year so far.
Everyone stayed silent until Gary burst into laughter.
All right, that's a new one. Video games. I like it. Who wants to go next? Cabin 4?
I glanced at the girls and then at Hannah, who nodded and mouthed, candy. I sighed. Cabin 4 is grateful for 3 Musketeers bars. The girls cheered. And, I added when they'd calmed down, having someone to share them with.
Gary clapped. Good one, Cabin 4.
As it turned out, despite a morning of good intentions, large breakfasts, and lots of laughter, everything came crashing down when I checked our schedule for the day. Right off the bat, we were headed for danger. Horseback riding. It wasn't even my fear that bothered me. It was that I'd miss out on sharing it with the girls. As a group, we walked from the dining hall through the dirt and dead grass toward the stables.
"Look, there's Bobby Newman," Katie squealed, pointing.
I spotted a couple more boys from Manning's cabin, then his co-counselor, Kirk. Like a trail of breadcrumbs, my eyes followed until they landed on Manning as he helped a camper up onto a saddle.
"We're paired with them today?" I asked Hannah.
"Looks like it."
Now, hanging back at the stable was even worse. I'd not only be missing out on quality time with the girls, but with Manning as well.
"Want me to stay behind with you?" Hannah asked. "I'm sure Manning and the instructors can handle it."
I turned and squinted at the stables. The horses were beautiful and enormous. If possible, they seemed even bigger than the year before.
A small part of me wanted to be brave just so I wouldn't miss this time with Manning.
It's okay, I told Hannah. The girls will want you there.
One of the handlers came out of the stable in cowboy boots. He waved at the girls.
Who wants to ride a horse?
They screamed and took off running toward him. For a moment, he looked terrified, but quickly recovered.
Okay, okay, slow down. You don't want to spook the poor things.
You or the horses? Hannah teased. Manning looked up at the commotion. Once he'd secured his camper, he came over to us.
I've never ridden a horse. Believe that?
That he'd never climbed on the back of a wild animal and expected it to do what he said? Yes, I believed that. What sane person would? I bit my thumbnail.
Me neither. It'll be a first for us both, then. Come on.
Hannah followed, but I stayed where I was. Horses on the ground didn't frighten me. It was the thought of getting on and letting go. What stopped the horse from doing whatever the hell it wanted? What if it suddenly had some kind of psychotic break? I'd never broken a bone, and I didn't want to start today. The handler came out with a shiny black horse, scanned the crowd, and started toward me.
You're going to ride Betsy Jr., he said.
I looked around to make sure he wasn't talking to someone else.
Me? She's a little on the wild side, but she's not as bad as her mom. Better if a counselor takes her.
I tried to back away, but my feet were suddenly made of lead. Betsy had black eyes and didn't blink, as if she were trying to send me a message. Touch me, and I'll buck you into a tree. Betsy Jr. neighed, a sinister laugh.
I can't, I said. I was too young to die. I'd never even been kissed or learned how to drive.
I'm going to sit this one out.
What's wrong?
Manning asked from behind me, and I jumped. Where had he come from?
I can't do it.
Why not? She's scared, the handler said. I see it in her eyes. Betsy gets the same look when I bring her around all these kids.
I gulped. I'll stay here and wait for you guys.
You sure? The instructor asked. You could ride with me.
I'd only just met the guy. He might do this for a living, but what did that even mean? He could have been hired yesterday. Maybe he'd been an insurance salesman who'd gotten laid off and had decided owning a pair of cowboy boots qualified him for this job.
I'm sure.
Suit yourself. Looks like Betsy Jr.'s safe another day.
He led Betsy back to the stable. I turned and found Manning looking at me as if he were waiting for something.
What?
I asked.
You know what?
No, I don't.
You got out of the Ferris wheel, but not this one. I'm going to make you get on a horse.
But
ride with me.
My breath caught in my throat. But that would mean being pressed up against him for an hour. An entire hour. I'd probably faint, and fall off the horse, and get trampled.
But you just said you've never done it.
That guy gave me a quick lesson. I'm a natural sportsman.
He smiled crookedly.
I've got this leg.
It's okay, I really don't even want to. With the sun high in the sky, his dark eyes were nearly black.
You told me you weren't afraid to get dirty.
It's not that. What if the horse goes crazy and bucks me off?
Then you'll fall, and we'll get you up and dust you off.
What if I break something?
What if? You tell me.
I opened my mouth. I'd expected him to tell me that wouldn't happen, that he'd protect me. If I fell off, I might hurt myself and have to go to the infirmary, maybe even the hospital. But that was true for all the girls and boys around me. Which meant now it wasn't just about riding a horse, it was about proving what I could handle, how much hurt I could take and keep going.
Okay, I said without an ounce of confidence.
I'll ride with you.
Today,
he said.
And next time you'll do it yourself.
I didn't believe I could, but he didn't need to know that. I nodded. Which horse?
Betsy Senior. Come on.
My knees nearly gave out. Of course Manning's first time on a horse would be on the wildest one. I supposed if I was going to ride a Betsy at all, it might as well be with Manning. I followed him. He tested the stirrup with his boot.
Put your foot in and get on.
I looked down and back up at him.
On the horse?
Trust me, Bertie.
He gathered the reins.
I just did this with my own campers and a couple of yours.
My heart slowed a little, hearing his nickname for me. As soon as I stuck my tennis shoe in the stirrup, Manning lifted me onto the horse by my waist.
"Christ, Lake,"
he said, adjusting my foot in the stirrup. His head came all the way to my shoulder.
"You weigh the same as a 10-year-old."
It wasn't true, but it probably felt that way to Manning, who could lift a horse without a struggle. Okay, maybe not a horse, but he was strong. Manning turned to walk away, and panic gripped me. I reached out and grabbed the first thing I could, nearly toppling over as I latched onto his T-shirt.
"Where are you going?"
He stopped in his tracks, mostly because I had him in a death grip. When he saw me lopsided in the saddle, he laughed.
"You know animals can sense fear, right?"
He wasn't helping. "That's a myth."
"Is it?"
He engulfed my fisted hand with his, but didn't pull me off.
"I was just going to make sure everyone got on, but if you think you need me more..."
I did. I needed him. Why didn't I get to be selfish every now and then, like everyone else? He would stay if I asked him to. Most of the girls had ridden horses before. Some had even taken lessons. But I hadn't come here to be with Manning. I'd come for them. I loosened my fist, and he held my hand until I righted myself on the horse.
2 minutes, he said. If she moves, pull on the reins and say whoa.
Manning checked in with each of his boys, and my girls, too. The way he made eye contact with each one and listened to whatever they said made me wonder why my dad wasn't like this with me when I got scared. He would have just told me to get on and quit whining. Did Manning get this from his dad? Where was Mr. Sutter? What did he do for a living? How often did Manning see him? After he'd shut down my questions about his sister, I wasn't sure I could ask. But if Manning had become the man he was because of his dad, I wanted to meet and thank him. Betsy Sr. neighed and took a few steps, jolting me back to reality. I tugged on the reins. Manning looked over and mouthed, "Whoa." "Whoa," I said. Betsy stamped a hoof and settled. It took longer than 2 minutes, but Manning returned once it was time to go.
"You want to drive?"
"No. Will you? Please." He scratched his chin.
"I didn't think this through. You might need to get off so I can get on first. Can you do it?"
If it meant I wouldn't have to be in charge of this thing, then yes. He helped me down, hoisted himself onto the horse, and jerked his head for me to get on again. Tentatively, I put my foot in the stirrup again. I had no way of pulling myself up, so Manning offered his elbow. I used it to slide onto the saddle behind him.
"See," he said. "You're a natural. Ready?"
But now, what was I supposed to do with my hands? His nearness robbed me of everything from sense to speech. His camp T-shirt, still creased, smelled like plastic and a hint of sweat.
"You might want to hold on," he said.
There was only one way to hold on. He was asking me to put my arms around him. Just like that? As if it wasn't something I'd dreamed of 100 times? It was impossible that he wouldn't instantly know the depth of my feelings just by this simple hug. He'd feel the pounding of my heart against his back. My hairline began to sweat. I ached to do it, but I seriously couldn't bring myself to move an inch. I was scared stiff. "I'm okay," I said.
"Suit yourself."
Manning clucked his tongue, squeezed Betsy's sides with his feet, and she jolted forward. I seized onto his T-shirt to keep from falling. He pulled back on the reins, laughing.
"Whoa, Betsy. Whoa,"
he said. She steadied into a walk.
"It might take a few tries."
My hands might as well be on him now. I had the fabric of his shirt in 2 fists, and if I released it, I might fall. Probably. It was likely. I didn't want to fall. I didn't want to let go of Manning when I finally had him. I eased my grip and slowly, with appreciation for every detail, slid my arms around his middle. I clasped my hands together and scooted closer, my inner thighs pressing against his legs. My pulse beat everywhere, especially the places we touched. And I felt his, too. I couldn't tell if the fast, rhythmic ba-boom against my palms was just the robust heartbeat of a healthy man, or if he was feeling as euphoric and turned on and nervous as I was. As everyone started down the path, Manning and I pulled up the rear, while one handler took the lead. Hannah and the other instructor rode alongside the kids. Manning cleared his throat and asked over his shoulder,
Are you comfortable?
My chest was mashed against him, my butt awkwardly pushed out to keep just a little distance between us so he wouldn't think I was trying to get too cozy. Worst of all, I couldn't see over him since he was so tall, and I didn't know where to put my face.
It didn't matter.
I sighed. Yes.
Did you fall off a horse as a kid or something?
No, I never even got on one.
So this is like the Ferris wheel?
He asked.
It's not really a hype thing.
No. My friend had a treehouse growing up, and I went in there sometimes. I get on the roof at home.
The roof?
From my room. I can climb out the window.
Hmm.
His hum vibrated my body.
So it must be things that move, not being able to control what could happen. Have you ever been on a plane?
Those were worst of all. Talk about having no control. You could die a million different ways on a plane, and most of it wouldn't be instant. If it started to fall out of the sky, you'd have to sit there, knowing you were going to die. Just waiting. I shuddered. I had to as a kid when we took vacations. I didn't have a choice. I think I cried through my entire first flight, and after that, my parents just gave me something.
That surprises me, he said. I know you're brave.
Me, brave? I wasn't so sure. Why do you think that?
Just little things. Like when we went to that party before the fair, and Tiffany pressured you to go in. You said no, when most teenagers would have done the opposite.
That wasn't bravery, I said. I just don't like those things. Drinking, flirting, acting stupid because they think it's cute or funny.
A lot of people don't like those things, but they do them anyway, because people make them think it's cool. They back down. They're the cowards.
Manning placed his hand over mine as I held onto his stomach. My throat went dry, my body tingling in places I didn't know could tingle.
Take the reins a minute, he said.
I can't even see. That was a lie. I saw Manning, and Manning was all I saw.
You don't need to, because I can.
He removed my hand to place a rein in it, then did the same with the other.
There you go. You're a pro.
I wasn't doing a single thing but holding the reins. He could have been steering me into the lake, and I'd have no idea. For some reason, it was important to him that I do this on my own.
Hey, Jake, Manning called out. Mike, stop screwing around. This isn't a video game. These are real animals.
Sorry, Manning, a couple boys said. You're good with them, I said. I can tell they look up to you. My back started to ache from keeping some distance between us. Do you want kids? He took the reins again.
Not really. No, not right now.
I had nowhere to put my hands. I do, one day.
You're still a kid yourself.
Just because I'm younger than you doesn't mean I'm a kid. I wrapped my arms around him again, this time pulling myself forward until we were snug, hardly any space left between us. And I'm getting older every day. He straightened up, and I rested my cheek against his back, closing my eyes, inhaling the scent of the pine trees around us. We rocked together with the steady bump and grind of the horse's hooves on the dirt path. The fresh morning air kept me cool, even while my body warmed where we touched. My jeans caught on his, but his t-shirt was soft under my bare arms. Based on what I'd heard from kids at school, this was the way I imagined it felt to be drunk or high, to reach a level of happiness and bliss that could only be achieved with help. Arms, chest, cheek. My entire self pressed against Manning's solid body. That was my drug of choice. Was 16 too young to fall in love? I might have thought so before Manning. Could he love me back? A man 7 years older? I was sure if he did, he'd never admit it. But I would wait for him. Even I understood that, for a while, our ages mattered. There was no right now for us. 18 was a lifetime away. That was 2 more whole school years, another long summer. It was millions of breaths that would inevitably catch in my throat around him, and thousands of pages read across so many books, and hundreds of long, sun-soaked California days. But the wait would be, without a doubt, worth it. The horse slowed. I opened my eyes but didn't lift my head. We were at the lake now. A couple cabins were canoeing. Because she was as familiar to me as my own reflection,
but also because she was yelling across the water at some of her girls, my gaze went straight to Tiffany. Her canoe rocked, and for a second I thought she might fall in. She grabbed the edges, steadied herself, and sat. Her campers pointed at the parade of horses, waving to us. Tiffany shielded her eyes. I turned my head away, resting my other cheek against Manning's back as I tightened my hold on him. Tiffany didn't know what she had, what she could have. As much as it frustrated me, I was thankful for that.
Chapter 16. Manning. Lake carried a bucket of water that looked half her size. She put it down in front of Betsy and with a tentative hand stroked her nose. We were only halfway through the ride and she was already overcoming her fear. It was what I wanted, except that when Betsy whinnied and Lake jumped back and looked at me, a part of me liked that. I craved that feeling of being needed again, of being held onto when she was scared. A hint of fear was good. It would keep her alert. The air up here was crisp. I could practically feel it move through my lungs. I wished my fears were as easily overcome, but I was fucked any way I turned. Lake was important to me in a way she shouldn't be. Her naivete about some things made me overprotective. Then, once in a while, her girlish mannerisms or expressions reminded me of things Maddie did I'd forgotten about, like how she blinked a lot when processing something new. It drew me in. On a primal level, I wanted to keep bad things from happening to her. Was it more than that? I didn't want to know the answer. In some ways, she was still sweet and open. In others, Lake was more mature than people my own age. She wanted to understand things rather than accept them as they were. She took an interest in me nobody else had in a long time, grilling me about the smoking, asking why I wanted to be a cop, trusting me when she had no reason to. Lake returned to my side. She'd barely spent any time with Hannah or her girls since we'd left the stables. She was here to experience camp, not me. But I was greedy. When she looked up at me with her huge eyes, waiting for my direction, I knew peripherally that I was in too deep. I needed to pull back. But that look reminded me someone might depend on me again one day, and if things were different, Lake could have been that someone. She was still standing there. Even if I pushed my heels into my eye sockets and forced her image away, she'd still be here, looking up at me, waiting. "Why don't you go check on the girls?" I asked.
"I did. The boys, too. After I gave the horse water."
Time passed in a funny way around her. Maybe she had talked to the campers. Maybe she'd spent time with Hannah. I'd been the one standing in the same spot watching her. Time could be slow like that with her. And then sometimes it went by in flashes. Sometimes I just wanted it to stop, and others I wished it'd go by faster.
"We should head back," she said. "There's a group after us."
I wasn't sure if it was the altitude or what. My head wasn't clear. All I could think was that I'd spent 24 hours on a lake underneath clear, endless skies, and yet I'd still never seen a blue the shade of her eyes. I was sure the image of her looking up at me this way would be burned into my brain for as long as I walked this earth.
"Manning?"
"Yeah." I tore my gaze away. "Get on."
"I want to drive."
Half an hour ago, she could barely bring herself to get near the horse. Maybe she didn't need me after all.
"By yourself?"
"No, with you." I nodded. "You get on first."
"Will you help?"
"You can do it," I said.
"I know, I want your help."
I ran a hand through my hair. The other instructors were helping campers on the horses. How was this different? I had no reason to feel weird. Lake was Tiffany's little sister. She stuck her foot in the stirrup and looked back at me, waiting. As I took Lake by the waist and put her in the saddle, I tried not to notice how her shirt rode up. "All set?" I asked one of the handlers.
"Got the back?" he replied.
"Yeah." One by one, the group lined up to head back for the campsite. I grabbed the knob at the front of the saddle, right between Lake's legs, and pulled myself up behind her. She slid back into the V my thighs made, the two of us fitting together like puzzle pieces. I took the reins and waited until everyone had gone ahead of us. I could have rested my chin on Lake's head or closed my arms around her and engulfed her completely. Her hair smelled like sweet summer strawberries, as if she washed it in the produce section of a fucking supermarket. Distracted, I pulled on the reins without meaning to, and Betsy stopped.
"What's wrong?"
Lake asked. "Nothing." I squeezed Betsy's middle to get her to go again. I tried to remember how Tiffany smelled.
Nothing came to mind except that she smoked cigarettes and chewed a lot of minty gum.
I'm ready to try, Lake said.
My head was still foggy, my ears buzzing. I didn't want Lake to take